Hey guys, welcome back to the Toxic Mom Podcast. This is part two of Susan Smith. If you remember in the podcast, I stated I would be doing a separate podcast on the topic of why Caucasian women tend to blame African American men and women on crimes that they actually committed. I have my friend Patrick with me. We discuss it in detail. And as always, I thank you for listening. All right. Thank you for agreeing to talk to me on this topic that I think is very important. As you know, I reported on Susan Smith, and she's the white woman from 1994 that murdered her children. But before she confessed, she claimed a black man had carjacked her at gunpoint and kidnapped her kids. And she gave a full description. They did a police sketch, and they actually looked for this person for about 2 days before they called it off once they realized that her story just wasn't adding up. So she's not the first woman, white woman in particular, to blame a black or Hispanic man for something she actually did.
Right.
So, you know, why do you think that this happens?
Well, it clearly has been a tactic that has been used for centuries, and they've gotten away with it because it's so easy to demonize the black man as the boogeyman or the bad guy that's looking to hurt white women and commit crimes against white women. So it has worked so many times in the past with the most famous case, or not, I shouldn't say the most famous case, but the one case that the really egregious case that I can think of was the Emmett Till case and Carolyn Bryant.
Right.
And so having seen that lesson or seen that work for her, and no doubt she thought, I could easily blame it on somebody black and I'd be believed without a shadow of a doubt. Whether she didn't took into account how long she would be believed, she automatically knew that she would be believed.
Right. And you're talking about the Deep South at that time. And,
right.
You know, the South was quite different from the North where Emmett was from. His mom
mm-hmm.
did her best to prepare him to go down there with just the mannerism, the yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am,
right.
Don't look them in the eye. You know, and then, like you said, she was able to persuade everybody that this happened. And of course, she went home that night and told her husband. And then her mm-hmm. husband's brother, I believe, was the one that got really ramped up.
Right.
And wanted to find this kid. And they did. And they ripped him out of his uncle's house. And we know what happens next.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
And they put him on trial. All white jury.
Right.
No conviction.
Not even a chance.
Nope. And then a few years later, these two actually did an interview where they admitted to what they did. But because of double jeopardy, there was nothing nobody could do.
How ballsy do you have to be to admit what you did, knowing that you did it, and just knowing that there's nothing they can do with it? So
right.
you can slap in the face of anybody who wanted to do anything.
You know, and then I don't know if you're familiar with, this goes back to 1949 I forget what state it is. The Groveland Four. I don't know if you're familiar with those four black men. Oh, it was in Florida. Florida. Back mm-hmm. in 1949, four black men between the ages of 16 and 26 were accused by a 17-year-old white woman named Norma Pagent.
Mm-hmm.
She claims that these four men raped her. These four black men mm-hmm. raped her. And of course, the sheriffs and all went after them and, you know, charged them, put them through a trial, and they were all convicted.
Yeah.
but one of them had escaped and was caught, and over 1,000 white men had rallied around him when they caught him, and they shot him over 400 times while he was asleep under a tree.
Wow.
So this, and between, now that I bring that up, it said between 1882 and 1968, 3,500 black people, mostly men, were lynched. That's a lot.
Well, that's a conservative number as well, too.
And who knows? It could be even more.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there is more.
So we have decades of... estimate. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
That's okay. No, I said it was just a very conservative estimate.
Right. Where did they get that number from?
Well, that's... I'm guessing then that's the actual reported number.
Right.
But how many hundreds of or thousands more were never reported because A, nobody cared, was looking for them.
No.
B, the family knew that nothing was ever going to come of it, so why bother saying it?
Exactly. And so back to these four men. So they had their murder conviction actually was overturned, the first one, by the Supreme Court on appeal. Because they agreed that there was not enough evidence to support that anything happened. So they were granted another trial. And Thurgood Marshall actually represented one of them during the second trial.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he's the first black man that ever sat for the highest court in the United States. If people are not familiar with his name, but he represented one of them, and of course they were found guilty again. But in 2021, their murder conviction and charges were all overturned, but a little too late because they were all dead by then. So, you know, and shockingly, the governor of Florida right now, DeSantis, actually made some really heartwarming remarks about it, which is shocking considering how he conducts himself on a regular basis. But that's a story for another day. But right. Yeah, these four men, you know, were accused of rape and didn't do it. And this white woman and her husband got away with this lie for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
So we go back to Susan Smith, who made up this tale. And now let's say the police actually believed her. It seems like at first they might have taken her word for it.
Yeah, I think they did. I think they really did believe her at first.
Yeah. So let's say they went out and they did their search and they came across a black man that fit the description. And let's say they ran his information and it comes back that he has a history of carjacking.
Yeah.
And take it a step further, let's say he couldn't verify where he was the night of this alleged kidnapping. That could have turned out very, very bad for a black man that had nothing to do with this if they really did believe Susan Smith.
He could probably be still sitting in jail right today.
Right, right. So
all he has to do is fit the description.
That's all he would have had to do is fit it. And, you know, he more than likely would have been facing some charges. And I wonder if, you know, she would have, let's say somebody did get arrested. I wonder if she would have, went along with it, knowing what she did, or if she would have said, you know what, no, I actually did it. This person's innocent.
I believe she would have went along with it.
I believe it too.
I don't think she has the intestinal fortitude to say, no, this isn't the person. I did it. No, I think she would have just went along with it. And if it became known that, you know, eventually that he didn't do it, then she probably would say something. But until somebody says something, she would have just kept quiet.
Strong possibility, because her crime in itself was out of selfishness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She was trying to catch the attention of her lover, and who had broken up with her earlier that day via note. He wrote a note to her, and she got very upset, and she decided she wanted to get his attention. And what way to get his attention was to kill her kids, or, you know, say that they were kidnapped, hoping that he would change his mind and run into her arms.
Well, yeah. How diabolical is that? She kills two birds with one stone. She's free of any kids, because didn't he also say that he didn't want any children?
He did. He said that in his letter.
Right. So she gets rid of her kids, and she's a sympathetic figure for him to come and scoop up and love. So she would have won twice.
Right. But it didn't work, because he didn't even call her or anything. And then the police finally did back her into a corner. And, you know, that's when she finally confessed. But, you know, she's up for parole in 2024.
Yes, I see that.
So I'm eager to see if that's granted. I really don't think so, just because of the facts of her case are just so heinous. But you never know. You never know.
You never know. You never know. All it takes is one sympathetic person on that jury, or that parole board, to say, you know what, I think she's done enough.
Right. Right.
You know? But she's had some problems.
Lots.
In her case while in jail, so.
She's had lots of problems. She got two prison guards fired because she was having sexual relationships with them.
Right.
She got into quite a few fights, which is not abnormal for prison, but no. That's going to come up on her hearing.
Well, yes.
You know?
It definitely should come up.
Yeah, she's definitely a manipulator. So if they just stick to the facts, she shouldn't leave jail. But like you said, there might be one or two sympathetic jurors or parolees who say, you know what? Like you said, she's done enough time. She learned her lesson, but.
Yeah, she's learned her lesson and the public's forgotten about it. So
that's what I think she's hoping. Unfortunately, I think she is, but, you know, I don't think so.
I hope not. I seriously hope not. Because,
so,
you know.
Yeah, I don't hope not either. They've done quite a few documentaries on her, and I think because 2024 is coming up, they're going to do something soon.
Well, I hope so. I really hope so.
So, to remind people.
Right, exactly. You know, how diabolical she was, and these two little innocent boys that, you know, didn't have a chance.
Mm-mm.
They were strapped in their car seats. There's no way, even if they were just in the car and she didn't have any seatbelts on them or anything, but they were strapped in their car seats and she had woken them up to put them in the car.
Right.
So, you know, she planned this, and they didn't have a chance to even know at that age what was going on and be how to even save themselves. So all has to be really said is, think of the horrific death that these young babies had to suffer for.
Right. Just, you know, just so the mother, and I say this frequently now, just so the mother could satisfy her sexual needs. You know, I always say this, when the sexual needs of a parent or guardian become the only priority, the kids suffer. And that's pretty much all she wanted. She wanted this man. She was having this rendezvous with him at odd spots because she couldn't bring him home. Right. And, you know, he sends this letter and she just, boom, wants to get rid of her kids. And then, of course, she drags an imaginary black man into it.
Well, to add some spice to the story, exactly. Why not, right?
Yeah, so if we're staying on this trend, there's a couple of people that I went back and read similar to Susan Smith. You have Sherry Hall in 2016, who was a police officer, actually a rookie police officer, you know, just fresh off the training, who said that this black man came up to her police cruiser and shot at her.
Oh.
And the story, and the thing is, she had a dash cam on at the time. So they went back and saw the dash cam and saw that something did happen, but they weren't like exactly sure. And then they started really picking apart her story. And then she, they realized that her injuries were superficial, that she, or not superficial, self-inflicted.
Right.
So, you know, she even said like he was 6 foot tall and he weighed this amount and he was black and dark skin and he shot at me, and was even insinuating that he possibly, she actually got sentenced to 15 years for that.
And she deserves every year of that 15 right. year sentence, if not more.
Because again, they could have went out and looked for somebody that matched this description, and somebody else that might have not have had an alibi, somebody else that might have had a record. And we know that the police are very, very good with getting false confessions out of people that are afraid. This woman named Bonnie Sweeten in 2009 from Pennsylvania said that two black men kidnapped her. And the police went on a wild goose chase for Disney World the whole time.
Oh, okay, yes, yes. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think while they were looking for her, she had, she was communicating as if she was kidnapped and being like held. But wow. the whole time, yes, the whole time she's in Disney World, and the Pennsylvania State Police and the local police are looking for the, her car and, you know, her and her daughter. And here she's down in Orlando living it up. And she did this because, according to them, she didn't admit to it, but they said that she was stealing. Well, they proved that she was stealing. She was stealing from a nonprofit she was working for. And right. I guess the person who did the books realized that the money was off and they pinned it back to her. And they, and she knew that they were closing in on her. So she wanted to create some sort of elaborate story to take the heat off of her and to live out one last hurrah, because she knew she was going to jail for a long time.
Right.
So she decided.
So what better way to...
Go ahead.
No, no, I said, what better way to do it than to blame a black man?
Right. You know, I just don't, and I don't really think she was sentenced to 8 years in jail, but it was more so for the theft, not for wasting police time.
Wow.
When I read her story again recently, it really seems like the time that she got was for that theft charge, because she stole a significant amount of money. But she wasn't really sentenced on lying to police, which she sort of was, but that really doesn't carry a heavy sentence. And, you know, just wasting police resources.
Well, yes. And it's also endangering a segment of the public.
Right.
Who had absolutely nothing to do with her taking the money or her alleged kidnapping.
Right. And I don't know if you heard about this one in Florida, 2020, another one in Florida, surprise, surprise. Patricia Ripley. Now, this one was pretty sad. It's along the lines of Susan Smith. She said that two black men kidnapped her and her son at knife point, and her son was autistic and nonverbal.
Oh.
And, you know, she said, you know, these two black men came, took her and her son, and come to find out, she actually murdered her son.
Wow.
And there was actually a witness to the first attempted murder because she took him to like a creek area and tried to drown him, I believe it was, or push him off, and somebody heard screams or something. So it distracted her, but then she went and found another spot and she pushed her son into the canal and he died. And then of course, so she wouldn't get in trouble, she's another one that decided to blame black men on a crime.
Wow.
You know, it's, I don't understand, but like you said, it's easy for them to blame black men because society already has this view and it's usually negative of black men.
That's right.
And Hispanic men. We can throw Hispanic men in there too. There's been a lot of Hispanic men that have been blamed for stuff they didn't do.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of Hispanic men sitting in jail right now that didn't commit the crimes that they were blamed for.
Right.
Or even convicted for.
And if there's no way for them to prove their innocence, especially if they're already coming in there without clean hands, if they have a record already, if they, you know, don't have resources to get themselves a good lawyer, but sometimes not always a good lawyer will get you off, but
no,
they're able to do a little bit more digging because they have more money for them to put their case together. So it, you know, it's, and I don't understand how no one really talks about this.
It's a dirty secret. Nobody wants to, because then you would have to admit that, A, this is an accepted practice that white people have done for centuries, and B, that your justice system or your criminal system is so flawed that a person can be convicted for it on the word of another person. So, because they're poor and unable to defend themselves, or B, their lawyers incompetent, or any other number of factors, but the fact that a conviction can still be had, it's embarrassing. Nobody wants to admit it.
Mm-mm.
So, and we know that people really don't like to be faced with the truth about themselves, so it's better to pretend it doesn't happen or turn a blind eye than to actually stop it.
Yeah, and we still have cops running around here doing, it seems, whatever they want to unarm black men and women.
Right.
And we have no police reform.
Oh.
There's never going to be. That's a done deal. They just passed the anti-lynching bill, but that took decades. Decades.
Decades upon decades, not centuries, to even, first of all, to even to get to admit that there is a problem, and B, that can they do something to at least, I say, stem the flow or stop it, but to even put a stomp on it, to just get it out of society, because you know I just saw on Instagram or Twitter a white man in Florida, I believe, came into a Popeyes restaurant. And he told the young black lady that he was going to hang her from a tree.
I think I saw that.
So, you know, even in 2022, there's still that mentality.
And it always will be, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, you're right. Because look at the cases in the past 3 or 4 years of they're finding black men hanging from trees, and they label it as suicide.
Yeah, and which we know nine times out of 10, it's really not suicide.
No, it's not. If black men are going to commit suicide, they're not going to hang themselves from trees.
Mm-mm. There was something yesterday I saw on Twitter. There was a man, a student over at Ohio University said that a white fellow student came and urinated. His apartment door, I think, was open. I don't know if he was moving something in or, you know, whatever he was doing, but a white wow. kid came up and urinated right in his apartment and wow. ran off. And you know how people are able to find out who these people are. They had a name and everything of this kid right away. And here he's a star player at that university on the baseball team.
Wow.
So I don't know what came of that. I'll actually go back on, you know, maybe tomorrow and see like if Ohio University is going to make a statement. What are they going to do to this kid who...
What are they
going to
do?
Yeah. And of course the apartment where he urinated in was occupied by a black student, and that black student felt like nothing was really being done. So then another black student from that same university posted something on his page where he opened up his apartment door, or he was coming in, and there was a bag of trash sitting outside of his apartment with the N-word written on it.
Wow.
So don't know if they're related, but clearly there's something going on over there. So that's another thing. You know, these black men are harassed on a daily basis mm-hmm. by people other than the police, and it, like, nothing's done.
Nope.
Nothing.
It's called deal with it.
And that's all it is.
Yep.
So, well, there's also some men on here that I found. I don't know if you remember Charles Stewart in 1989, Massachusetts.
Yes. He shot his wife, his pregnant wife.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one?
Yes.
Right. And while there was a police search for a few days, at least, or more, for the suspect.
They actually found, well, he named somebody, and... They actually, right. I believe he was already in police custody because he was being busted for something else. But he named a guy, and they arrested him. And Charles Stewart's brother actually finally came forward. I think he came forward once he right. realized that there was somebody arrested for this and said, my brother yeah. actually set this whole thing up for life insurance, and apparently he didn't want children.
Yep, that's right. I remember it.
And then they said that that period where he was claiming that this happened, they started doing mm-hmm. a stop and frisk on random black men
right.
in Massachusetts. So they were very angry, clearly, obviously, mm-hmm. rightfully so. But then he took the coward way out when he realized they were coming in on him. He jumped off of a bridge.
That's right. Killed himself.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Men do it too. It's not just white women. We have some men on there that, you know, have thrown black men under the bus for crimes that they committed.
Definitely.
So I don't think it'll ever end.
One-on-one.
No. Yeah.
Not for the foreseeable future anyway.
It's never going to end because I don't know what kind of charges they even get for... I mean, lying to police for one, but what other charges can stick when you completely make up a story like this and then actually finger somebody or do a sketch and they're searching? What other, you know, it's clearly a racially motivated tactic on their end.
Right. I would label it as a hate crime. Right.
I was going to say that. Could they label it a hate crime and get something going with that?
It should be.
Because I believe hate crime charges are the federal government. They handle that. So,
right.
you know, could they contact them like, hey, we have this case going on, but this is what they said before, you know, mm-hmm. who knows? I don't know.
I think that's what it should be.
It should be. Especially if you can prove that they, you know, I guess it would be hard for them to say like, hey, did you say this just because you think it would be easier to get away with since you labeled a black man, but I guess they have to prove that they maliciously said it was a black person in order for those hate crime charges to stick. I don't know much about that, but I definitely could be labeled as that.
If you can give a description or a name of somebody, that pretty much determines that you were planning on blaming somebody black.
Right.
You're like, oh, he was, I don't know, 5'10", 6'3". But when you give a specific height, and that's a hate crime.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well, thank you for talking to me about this.
Well, you're very welcome.
I don't know what'll come out of it, but I definitely think it's something that needed to be said, because this is going on time and time again. And I just, you know, did that story of Gannon Stouch that I posted.
Yep.
And she's another one who said all this stuff to divert the police attention off of her, made up these rape stories, and blamed the Hispanic male at first and then threw in a black man. And here, you know, it's a possibility that she hasn't been convicted yet. Her trial hasn't started, but it doesn't look good for her. It looks like she's the one that did do this egregious crime to her stepson, but to get police off of her back, she blamed two men of color for her alleged crime.
Right.
So 2022, well, she did this in 2020, but you know, now this is definitely going to come up at her trial. So, but I'm pretty sure in the near future, we're going to hear something else.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
And like nothing will come of it. Oh, wait, before we close out, Sherry Papanini, the woman from California, I forgot to throw her in there.
She
was kidnapped, allegedly missing for a month, then reappeared, beat up, and blamed two Hispanic women. And here they think she concocted the whole thing to be with her ex-boyfriend. Yes. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I remember reading it, but
So she's getting ready to have a trial.
Wow. You could go on and on and on with the examples.
It's sad. It is.
You know? Even one is too much, but when you have, you know, a notepad full, or book full, I mean, isn't it just too much?
Uh-huh.
Why is nothing being done about this?
Well, maybe they need to rework the judicial system to add harsh penalties of when people do this.
It would be nice.
Yeah, it would be. But that'll take...
Hold my breath,
right. Nice. Neither am I. That'll just take a lot of time. And then I'm sure it has to go through many, many hands. And I'm pretty sure some people... we'll have a very big problem with this, and you know, then nothing will happen, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for talking to me about this subject.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed myself.
Thank you. Thank you guys for listening. I hope that you enjoyed that podcast. I felt like it needed to be discussed. It is not discussed enough. We have lots of cases outside of the ones we mentioned on that podcast that involve white women blaming black and Hispanic individuals for crimes that they actually committed themselves. We hear of missing white women syndrome all the time, but for some reason, this particular topic, it's never discussed. Very rarely. So I hope that I opened up your mind and your ears on this important subject matter, because there are a lot of black men sitting in jail for things they did not do at the hands of a white woman who was believed over them. So again, thank you for tuning in. Next week will be part 2 of Letitia Stouch, and we'll chat soon.